Welcome to Liberty Southwest podcast number 57. Tonight we have Kirk Pettis, the illustrious Matt Winter, Danny Ng, and myself, Eric Taylor. Tonight we are going to talk primarily about the election and what happened last night. I think it was pretty historic. And we
What
have
election?
what election? The one that you called, Kirk. I can call you because, after all, you are from the future. I think we all will
Did
agree on
somebody
that
win?
now.
I did come back for this podcast, that's for sure. Couldn't miss it.
You talking about Blair Walsh? I mean, he did win the election after the six or seven kickers that we did not elect. So, I mean, the dude got. Oh, are we talking about politics? Oh, never
No.
mind. No, sorry. Keep going.
We're
There
so
is
rude, we
politics there.
interrupted Eric's intro.
Oh,
Hey,
segueing.
I didn't mean it.
I'm sorry, Eric.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So, Kirk.
I'm sure we all got a lot of sleep, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think. So, we were all texting back and forth and started dropping one by one. I think, Kirk, you and I, we made it to the bitter very end, right?
I
I
dropped out
pretended
first, I
to go to
think.
sleep a few times.
Wait, so did you guys actually watch the victory speech?
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys? Oh, wow.
I was I made it to only 11, like 11:38, I think, is when I finally set down my phone and said I'm gonna ignore your guys' texts. I waited till Michigan got called. When they called Michigan, I was like, "All right, this is over."
It wasn't called that early.
No,
Well,
yeah, Michigan never got called. Florida.
Florida got called, then Ohio got called, and then Michigan was the last one. Maybe I just
Well, it looked
invented
like it
that.
was gonna go.
Yeah, it looked like it.
So I looked at my phone this morning when I woke up, and I saw Eric's last text was 1:48 in the morning.
Fitter end.
My problem was I couldn't even go to sleep afterwards.
You're so excited.
I don't know about that. I was a little excited. Yeah.
Throwing a party.
Yeah, but a weird kind of excited.
Go on.
Too excited.
What do you mean? What's the, it sounds interesting.
Well, I guess the repudiation of a, I guess the current administration was key. And it's not like I'm excited for a Trump presidency, but it just seemed to have that vibe of limited government for some reason in my mind, more than anything else. And that's probably way off base, but
I mean, you
it
can
just
read
gave me that
into it
vibe.
whatever you want to, so that's cool. I mean, pretty early yet.
Or the
I like
fact
that
I
word, by the way, repudiation. That was excellent.
I was very disappointed at the same time, though. I did predict Trump win, but I predicted a landslide, and I mean it was a fairly big margin, but I really didn't think Clinton would be able to muster up 50 million votes, or if even higher. What'd she get? Probably 60. I didn't see the final tally, but
59,814,018,
to be exact.
Yeah, that's a lot of people that seem to have their head in the sand.
Which is actually like 200,000 more votes than Trump got for the popular vote.
Yeah, I did see that because they were saying that that was probably going to happen all last night, and even though Trump had a bigger popular vote when I still went to bed, but
yeah,
Well,
I
this is
think.
why we have an electoral college, right?
Yeah, I mean it's clumped up. That's how it's been for a very long time, where liberal popularity increases the more dense the population becomes. So
Right.
this
Right.
country's big. There's more
So I got
red than
something
there's
to tell
blue.
you guys about, which was really something I did not expect out of the results of this election, and I think it's because of my own lack of foresight into some things, and I heard about it today from my fiance, who is a teacher.
Okay.
She's a teacher in Northeast Minneapolis, and she teaches at a school that is predominantly Somali population. And she teaches second grade, and One of the questions that she had to answer repeatedly today was whether or not Trump was going to round up the children's families and take them away.
There is fear.
That's our media.
I absolutely blame the media for that. I absolutely do. And it was so heartbreaking because I know these kids. I've been there. I helped build their playground. And they're all super sweet and innocent, and but this is what they've heard. So that was really, hit me right in the heartstrings. That felt pretty bad.
Pretty sad.
Well,
what do you guys all think about the election? I mean, do you think that has any merit, or?
I have one word that describes what happened last night. Shocking. What I think about the election. Now, what's going to happen, I think, and maybe Kirk, you probably disagree with this, but from what I have seen, Trump is not consistent about anything that he says. You can go out and look at almost any issue that he's touched on, and he contradicts himself all the time. So you don't know. I mean, I don't really know where he stands on anything, because you can find information that will support he stands this way on something and the other way on something.
Yeah, I don't fully disagree with it, but I see a progression through the entire election season to where he's... I wish I could remember where I heard this, but... He started off, all right, we're gonna deport all the illegals. And that was just to get the attention and the people's attention. And then he soft pedals it back. All right, we're only gonna deport the violent ones, or the criminals, whenever they someone commits crime. And what else? It's been that way for every topic. So, and then the media just keeps on hyping all, then twisting what he says and saying that all Mexicans are rapists, calling him a bigot, and obviously that they're going to go round up kids and their families in the middle of the night, take them away. It's unfounded, in my opinion, and because really I think you could find stuff like that from any politician. But I think that it was a political strategy in the long run to say bombastic things to get attention and to get the talking points out there and then dial it back into the what's reasonable. And that's why I've never really feared what he's said, because I don't think that it would ever happen. I think it's more of just... just more of an attention type gathering, create the drama and then come up with the solution down the road. I mean, it's I don't believe Donald Trump is going to be making executive orders like Obama has done. I think he's going to be working with Congress and encouraging Congress to do things.
I hope you're right. I don't know that I necessarily agree with you, but I hope you're right.
Yeah. And interesting. Well, I was talking with a buddy today, and he's of the liberal persuasion. He's very progressive. And he's like, well, I guess one good thing happened for me today. He said, I own some stock in a private prison company. It went up 40% today. So that's, that's a good thing. So
wow.
The markets are, obviously factoring in something there.
You mean the same private prison that the Gates Foundation invest in?
I don't know which private prison it was, or
can you get the name?
Yeah,
I'm sure it's the main one.
Here's a snippet of an article. "Quote unquote, private prisons would likely be a clear winner under Trump, as administration will likely rescind the DOJ's contract phase out and ICE capacity of house detainees will come under further stress, further necessitating a sizable contract detention population as a potentially round up illegal immigrants."
I think that's all speculation. I think it's going to crash. Yeah, I would disagree, because I think the opposite would be more true.
Mm-hmm.
it was under the Clinton presidency, the Bill Clinton, that that became the you know, where that came into light being. And it's I don't know what that the mandate from the that was only federal. It was hardly anything against the private prisons. What Obama did, it was all, in my opinion, fluff to give the persona that we're going to stop these private prisons and whatnot. But I didn't think they were going away by any means. Mm. And as a free market, is that necessarily a bad thing?
Private prisons?
I mean, to have private prisons? I guess that would be a topic of its own, but
yep.
I'm just throwing the question out there. I'm not saying either way. But I would have been under the impression that the private prisons would have been doing better under Clinton than Trump, but I think that...
Go ahead, Danny.
I was going to just make another snarky comment. I was going to say, what happens if we put Clinton in that private prison?
That is exactly what I believe in. Not only Clinton, but all the last three presidents.
So yeah, I got a question for you guys.
She might be scared or concerned.
Those FBI investigations are not going away. There's a lot of people still scared.
I got a question for you guys. In this Trump shocking victory, I think I agree with you, Eric. That was shocking last night.
Never thought it would happen. I didn't think there was any chance.
Is this a trend? And when I say that, I mean, we just saw the Brexit.
Yep.
We just saw Trump get elected. Are we currently looking at a Western nation kind of rejection of the established elite here? Is that what's happening, or what do you guys think?
It certainly looks that way. I mean, there looks to be a nationalist sovereign trend that's spreading, and it's interesting. I think we talked about this a little bit, we texted back and forth a little bit about this last night. How there is a significant media bias trying to manipulate the population. And this is, to use a Kirkism, a repudiation of that, saying, can try as much as you want. We're sick of it. We're sick of the elite, the corporate elite soaking up all the cash. We're sick of losing jobs. We're sick of being told what to do. I mean, there are significant movements that are similar to the Trump movement all around Europe as well. So it could be really interesting to see how this plays out in the EU, as it's, you know, there's some significant issues over there anyway politically. But I think you're dead on, Matt, that this is a trend, and it could only increase momentum of that trend.
I just wonder what we might be seeing here in countries like Germany, where we've had a clear problem of bringing in an unvetted immigrant refugee population, causing strife without any assimilation. And I wonder if a country like Germany is ready to throw off Angela Merkel and just completely get rid of the crap that they've been dealing with.
Oh, I would definitely agree with that. I think there's not a chance in hell Merkel wins the next election.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because Germany's really at the epicenter of the EU, and it seems to me like they've gained the most out of that situation. You have the...
Well, not out of the migrant situation, but...
Out of the financial, I should say. Not migrant, yeah. But financially, it really Frankfurt has turned into the power hub of the EU. So,
well, that's always kind of been the mandate from the get-go with the EU, though. It was kind of just set up for Germany to run it all.
Yeah.
Is what that I've gathered, but...
Here's a real... I have a clip. It's under a minute and a half by Mr. Brexit. See what he has to say.
Oh, we're not particularly surprised, no, because the political class is reviled, you know, across much of the West. The polling industry is bankrupt, and the press just hasn't woken up to what's going on in the world. So, you know, 2016 is, by the looks of it, going to be the year of two great political revolutions. I thought Brexit was big, but boy, this looks like it's going to be even bigger. Oh, it's a very exciting night, and once again, it's the little people, it's the ordinary people, rising up against an establishment that has done them down very badly over the course of the last couple of decades. And, you know, if Trump does get confirmed as president, which looks likely now, then also, from the United Kingdom's perspective, we've actually, you know, there'll be a friend in the White House, someone who likes this country, rather than the Obamas and Clintons who look down upon us. Oh, I do think the media should learn to take a joke. It was purely said tongue-in-cheek. It's funny, isn't it, that some of the Clinton-supporting newspapers took it absolutely literally. I think the chances of me being the American ambassador in the European Union are limited. It may happen on April the 1st, but no other day of the year.
Where did that come from? Really
that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's a little off the topic, but, you know, that's Nigel Farage. And it kind of... He pretty much reiterates what I, you know, what I said. So it's really interesting, and it'll be an interesting next year, I think, to see how this fuels other European movements in general.
Well, and it definitely leads into what I wanted to ask you too about. So the media called him the next American ambassador to the EU, trying to force the news. So he had to say, yeah, I find that ridiculous, because it is ridiculous. And I want to ask you guys, do you really think Trump is a populist or a nationalist? Or is that just a creation of the media?
I think it's both.
I don't think he's either.
I think it's both. A populist and a nationalist.
Well, why?
Why?
Yeah.
Populist, to me, is it's of the people. It's a phenomenon. It's a movement of the people. And right now, there's a lot of nationalists.
Would every politician be that way, though?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think every politician is necessarily a populist.
Wouldn't Obama be? I mean, he won in a landslide.
Yeah, I would say
people brought him too.
I'd say he's a populist. I'd say.
But yeah, he was never called a populist.
Right. You know, I'd say. I think you could call them both significant populists, whereas in this case Clinton tried to set us up as a populist, but really in this context she's a status quo, you know, just a inside the beltway career politician who tried to frame her campaign as a populist campaign, but there is no, as you saw, there was flat turnout, especially in the communities that were really, really for Obama in 2008 and 12, you know, the African-American Latino communities, they just didn't come out as much for Clinton because there was a lot of disgust with Clinton. Even the populist movement within the Democratic Party, I would call Bernie Sanders their populist movement. A lot of those voters flipped to Trump and Gary Johnson. To a lesser extent, Gary Johnson. Now I'm seeing murmurs of the Clinton campaign blaming Gary Johnson for their loss.
that is classic.
Which I think is awesome.
Is that's great.
I really
hope
that's...
Make the Libertarian Party better than...
They
I'm
can't
actually
point the fingers back at themselves. They had the easiest to win election of all time, and they lost it. And they're going to blame Gary Johnson. Oh, my God.
Well, every Democrat should have the easiest time getting elected in America. I mean, it's ridiculous what America has become. And I guess one of the main questions is populist isn't a bad term.
No.
But it's framed as a bad term against Trump.
So I don't think it's framed as a bad term. I would disagree with that. I think it's a, for the most part, it is a positive term. You are
well,
of
and
the
then
people.
But then they say it's a populist movement of the angry white man or the angry electorate, the whatever negative connotation they can spin on it onto it. And so they just try and create the news around it, and it's just, I don't know. I just so it just it stokes more and more fear and more divisiveness across America. And then I hear people complaining about, oh, we're so divided. There's so much anger and hatred in the country. And it's, and then it's like, well, what does any of that mean? I mean, who are you accusing that of? Who, where is that being directed towards? It's just thrown out there. Like it's got substance and it's without any direct relevance to the situation. And it's, and that's why I just don't understand this total petrification of the Trump presidency that is coming around college campuses, the young. I mean, it's, I don't think it's a I don't think it's a nationalist movement what Trump is. I think it's a total repudiation of the media and the elites and crony capitalism. And Hillary Clinton embodied all three of those.
And I would suggest that that is a nationalist movement. People who have a strong desire to take their country back from the corporate and media elite.
Yeah, but isn't that what our government is today? So it's not national. Our government should be what our national character is. So it's a total repudiation also of the government, because that is what our government is. They only deal with corporations, the elites of the world, and they try and spin it that they are for the little people or the average people, and it's all hogwash. So, I mean, it's really getting the control back to where, you know, what America, and that's why I'm excited about what the Trump presidency is, that it's really, it in my mind, it's the mindset of the population grabbing back a hold of the controls, the reins of government. And regardless of what Trump does, I think it's just a good direction the country went.
So basically,
because of that, regardless of what happens,
is you like it because it's a big F you at quote unquote them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You did not vote.
And so you did not
vote. I did not even vote for it.
I had a little conversation with a friend of mine who's Jewish elite, like is what I'd like to call him. He's generally a liberal. But during this election, he called Trump as a winner early on, kind of like Kirk did. And he made a comment today. I don't know how we got onto the topic, but we just talked about this. So it said that I felt like my status as being like a white guy who's a Christian, I'm like the ultimate villain of the liberals. So, you know, and they've been doing it for so long that it just doesn't affect me anymore. And Danny, I'm going to loop you in on this too, because, you know, you like put the Asian and Caucasian, right? So,
that's right.
I feel like you fit, I feel like you're just as vilified as we are. So, and so what his response is, and this guy's super liberal. Keep this in mind. He's like, you're absolutely right. He said the social justice warrior, millennial, self-obsessed identity politicos have been going after the only safe target so long that they're used to it. So it got to the point where they've been trying to go after the group of what we are for so long that we all just said, go F yourself and we don't care about what you have to say anymore. They've just been playing the same song over and over and over again. White guys suck. We hate you. Like you're the reason the world is coming to an end. And so like the American people looked at that and they're like, you know, you said the same thing during the last election and the election before that and the one before that.
No,
so
this is a new movement. They haven't been out there that long. I agree with you, what you're saying to an extent, because I don't really think that it's them accusing the same mantra over and over. I think it's they just got out there and they've had their voices heard. Like most people just don't hear that crap. And then all of a sudden it's being exposed and everyone's like, what the hell is wrong with you? You're nuts. These people are absolutely like this is what our schools are teaching these kids. For all these colleges to be out there protesting an election of a democracy when they they uphold a democracy above anything else when we are a republic? They don't even know that we're a republic.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear Clinton's acceptance speech talking about that today? Oh, no, we're a constitutional democracy. She said it like six times.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a constitutional republic. Republic. Freaking, they won't stop harping on that crap. It's not a democracy. Stop it.
Danny, you said you were sad today. You ate comfort food, Indian comfort food. Usually don't pay for food at work. How do you feel?
I feel good. Yeah. I feel great. I think we just, you know, needed like the one of these moments, and you know, for lack of a better term, just like, you know, the world burned itself a little bit, but maybe we needed it. So it's good to kind of see that change. I feel pretty good, even though like most people in the office kind of felt down, and you know, then I kind of felt down as well. That's kind of why I went to the Indian restaurant to get some comfort food, but you know, kind of brought my spirits up a little bit again. And I feel, you know, I think this, we kind of need this change if we really want to, you know, go for a change in the long run. I mean, look at the polls. Like, you can see that you know, the exit polls, that a lot of people do not believe Trump has the temperament, has credentials to be president, but you know, most of the people at the same time agree that a change is needed, much more than that, you know, he just doesn't have the temperament and all that. So I think, yeah, kind of get back to you, Kirk. I think we're, you know, this is a good start of a movement, a change, but you know, in the long run, I don't know whether or not this is a good thing or not, but you know, it's a start. So I don't know. I feel pretty good.
It sounds kind of like you paralleled how the stock markets reacted. Because what were they down by? 800 points?
Well, yeah, the Dow futures were down about 800 points today.
But that was futures. That wasn't the
actual stock.
It was a roller coaster ride, right?
It's like Bitcoin.
How so?
Dow went up like 400 points today.
I know. So, that's like, what I'm saying. As you went through the evening, it went down, and then
it's so volatile.
As the information was absorbed, the markets were like, this is not as bad as it could, you know, as some of the rhetoric. Maybe it's going to be all right.
It's just like what we talked about Brexit last week too, how they all, it's the end of the world for Britain, but no. Now they're looking to have one of the best economies up out of the EU.
Right. Markets worldwide seem to be saying, hey, this is not that bad of a thing. I think a few of the things that I've read is that this most likely will mean heightened deficit spending. Because Trump is, he's a big infrastructure guy. He's going to put people to work. This is going to mean lower interest rates. This is going to mean further monetization and money printing. And the markets, you know, once they started to absorb that stuff, were like, we're going to, you know, the Kool-Aid isn't going to be pulled away at all. We're going to be able to let the party, you know, let the party continue. So
the Republican Party has come so far that Trump is FDR.
That was my prediction, wasn't it?
It was. That, and you are from the future.
He will be the Republican FDR.
When was this?
You weren't on the podcast. It was last week.
I've been saying that forever. That
great.
Win, yeah, and he will become the Republican FDR.
He hasn't even started president yet. Yeah, give him a chance.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that he lowers taxes. He does what the IRS, you know, he's going to hopefully damn near abolish the IRS. I hope he does
the Fed.
Janet Yellen. Janet Yellen
has to be feeling good. He doesn't like being audited right now, so I don't think he's going
to audit. He's audited every year. Give me a break.
Well, he hasn't paid taxes in, 20 years? So.
Oh, show us the documentation.
It's all legal.
I would be really surprised if he's paid. Well, you know, that's
he's
a question.
Paid taxes on everything he does, but not
federal taxes.
Federal for the specific
loss.
Corporation tax but that's what every business does. Businesses do not pay taxes.
They do. His is a special situation where he has tons of commercial real estate LLCs set up that can pass through losses.
Let's
pull
up the IRS's income or the tax dollars they pull in. Give me the percentage that comes from corporations versus personal income tax.
We got a CPA on. He should give us a ballpark of some of that stuff.
So I don't
corporations don't even pay close to what it is.
I'm looking.
Well, he's looking. So we have a
corporate tax is 11%, payroll tax is 33%,
income
tax is
47%.
I don't
want to know what the rates are, but what comes in because
that's what I'm telling you. Stop. That's what I'm telling you.
I thought you were giving the rates.
Nope, income tax 47%, payroll tax 33%, corporate income tax 11%, excise, estate and other taxes is 9%.
We have one of the highest corporate taxes in the world. And it still only comes into 11% of the tax rolls. So every corporation out there doesn't pay tax. It's very small. It's all people that
you're not doing your job as a company if you're spending money on taxes. Because you can spend money at it. You can amortize losses. Or what's it called? Amortize?
Well, it's not the right word.
What is it?
Carryover losses.
Carryover losses, you can depreciate hard assets, you can do, like, if you're spending money on taxes, you're probably not spending money in the right place.
You don't have the right tax people.
You haven't hired Danny.
Yeah.
You're not moving your money to Ireland or the Cayman Islands or wherever creative spot you can move your...
I am the IRS's cash cow. I make good money. I don't own my own home. I have no kids, and I'm not married. I am the cash cow.
Do you put money in your 401k and things like that? Reduce your AGI?
Sometimes.
Occasionally.
See, Danny is responsible with his money. I'm like Doctor Strange, where I spend my money as soon as I get it. Which is why I have a Ducati and not a KLR.
I'm going to sell my KLR. Oh. You want to buy it?
No, dude. I don't need more stuff to spend my money on. I mean, yes, I want to, but I can't. I don't want to spend the money on it.
Well, you just said that as soon as you get money, you're going to spend it. I mean, this is like the great opportunity to get something more practical, you know, a little bit more used. And I mean, you don't have a Enduro.
I'm buying bullion, and that's gonna be it. I'm just buying gold from now on.
That's right.
You need a motorcycle that can run in the dirt.
My Ducati is a Multistrada. It's designed to do that.
You don't want to take a Ducati on that.
You're right.
It's a Ducati. You want to take a KLR? All right,
but we digress. Yeah.
That's the best line this entire show has had. What are you talking about?
What are we talking about?
We're talking about taxes. So you have Trump. He's got the presidency. We had the Senate's been retained. What's it, 51-48 Republicans? We have a pretty substantial hold of seats in the House. So
what's the deal that they're talking about with the Senate, where they need 60 votes to do something with the Obamacare?
Supermajority. So they don't have a supermajority. So make it.
Oh, it can't be filibuster.
It's going to make it's anything that's codified into laws is extremely difficult to repeal. I think ACA is going to be a tough road to hoe to get that repealed. I'm sure they'll give it a shot.
Somebody was saying like they could do a nuclear option and get rid of the supermajority.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that.
Amend whatever the rules are.
Yeah, you still don't have the votes to do that. You need to have 60 to amend the rules. So
okay.
Yeah, I don't know Yeah, I think it is pretty difficult, but it certainly gives the Republican Party a lot of leverage. They'll have the most power that they've had in a long time. It'll be interesting to see how that works, and if Trump plays ball within the party, or if he continues to. Well, he hasn't really done anything. He's got no record of any sort, like what Danny is saying. We have absolutely no idea how he's going to govern at all.
Well, let me give you an idea. Let me read a few things here. Therefore, on the first day of my term in office, my administration will immediately pursue the following six measures to clean up the corruption and special interest collusions in Washington, D.C. First, propose a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. That is debated in the Republican platform every year, every election time. What do you guys think of that?
Yes.
Well, I think that's great if you can do it, congressional term limits.
I argued against it when we were delegates, but I can see
You were for it before you were against it?
Like Ron Paul.
He's a Trump guy all the way.
Flip flop.
I think Ron Pauls don't exist anymore.
What?
Very few Ron Pauls will ever exist.
He's still alive.
What do you mean Ron Pauls don't exist anymore? What does that even mean?
Well, in Congress, there's just very. People just don't become like Ron Paul. I mean, maybe it might take him a while, or I don't know. It's just
there are a couple
Ron
Pauls
like,
in Congress. I can name two off the top of my head.
Well, and Massey
and Amash. That's twice as many as there was when there was one Ron Paul.
Yes, but and before they can even do anything, they're going to be out then by the time their terms are up. But
they're not. They soundly won their districts, and they're more popular
than
they've ever been.
With the term limit, they're not going to be back.
Oh, sure.
So
okay.
That's okay.
They have influence.
So neither will all the other lifetime-long politicians, dude. We'd have fresh blood all the time.
I know, but I just think that there's unintended consequences in this.
So did you say that this is being discussed every year?
Oh, the Republican Party is always
at the state central.
But many people I respect have been calling for it. Milton Friedman was always calling for it.
So do you think that this is going to go through this time?
Well, that's what Trump's wanting to do.
Yeah. That's what he wants to do, but will it actually happen?
Well, a constitutional amendment is very hard to get passed, so I'm going to go with
no. So I'm not too worried about it. Yeah, I wouldn't be worried about it.
All right, second, a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce federal workforce through attrition, exempting military, public safety, and public health.
How's the deep state going to handle that?
That's all what I would think we would all at least a stepping stone in the right direction. So
yes, do it.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing.
Yep. Do it. Do it now.
Third, a requirement that for every new federal regulation, two existing regulations must be eliminated. That I am all for.
How do you even do that?
That's a cuckoo land.
Yeah, I mean, how does that work?
Well, I don't know. Make it work.
Make it work. It's
and
just
what kind
work.
Of legislation?
Every
2-for-1
week. Okay. I think isn't like every week there's 1,000 new regulations being passed? I don't know. It's an ungodly amount. No idea what the rules are.
I like it. I don't care if it's unenforceable. I like it.
I would say why stop nice at 2? Let's go to 10.
Yeah.
Every regulation drop 10. All right. Fourth. A 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government service.
I'd say forever.
Yeah.
Saying this forever guy bad. Sounds more and more like Ron Paul all the time. Fifth, a lifetime ban on White House officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. I would say that's even better. Mm-hmm.
It's a stretch, a lifetime.
Well, how about just dropping lobbying? But I guess it's a good measure.
There'd be another way that it would happen, dude. It just wouldn't be quite so transparent.
It's as old as
but politicians
mankind.
Becoming lobbyists is just their way to being paid off. after they do what needs to be done in a way too. It's just breeds corruption. You know what I'm saying there? I mean, people, you know, pat your back, pat yours after your coach, and, you know, well,
I didn't get elected. I was doing it all wrong.
So we need more regulation to regulate the regulators?
Yes.
Got it.
But we have to get
but
rid
we want
of
less
two
regulation.
Other regulations to do that first.
Got it. So more rules, so we have less rules.
Yes.
Right.
So on six, a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. I think that is perfect, but I would say why not stop? Why stop there? How about let's just stop treasury bonds as well, since foreign, you know, let's start spending what we have instead of going into debt. Would be what I would want to add to that, but
my bold prediction in due time is that the government's going to spend like it's going to continue to spend or may even accelerate spending and debt under Trump.
I don't know. Trump is going to, I think he's going to want to get spending under control. So we'll see what happens.
It's not cheap to employ all the displaced workers that have supported his campaign.
Well, he also hasn't been read into probably how exactly the Fed and everything works yet. When he comes out of these meetings, he might realize that you can't really touch the deficit or the federal income tax. But maybe that'll
piss
him
off. Did you read what his...
audit the Fed and abolish the Fed. You never know.
Did you read what he said? He would do the first five actions to restore security and constitutional rule of law.
No, I haven't got to that yet. Right here.
Do tell.
You want me to read it?
Go for it.
First, cancel every unconstitutional executive action, memorandum, and order issued by President Obama.
Like it?
That love it, but that's what the media is just flipping out about. Second, begin the process of selecting a replacement for Justice Scalia from one of the 20 judges on his list who will uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. It's really the only list he's released since he's been running about who, you know, will be in his cabinet or any form of government, because I haven't heard anything about
What's Dennis Rodman going to do?
Oh, is he on his list? Ambassador to North Korea. Ambassador to North Korea. Oh, that's a great job
North
for
Korea,
Rodman.
That'd be
great. Could be effective.
Yeah,
him and Trump would be BFFs.
He endorsed Trump. I don't know. I figure he's got a spot somewhere.
Oh, he's also in tight with that with the North Korean administration. So.
Yep. Kim Jong Un went over there and partied with them. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail what we were talking about.
All right. Third, cancel all federal funding to sanctuary cities.
LES.
I don't see what's wrong with it, but I do and I don't.
What's considered a sanctuary city?
They do not let people. If you're an illegal immigrant, you cannot be deported. Our law officials or law enforcement cannot ask you if you're illegal. And even if you're arrested, you can't even be asked if you're an illegal citizen.
Here's the wiki. Okay, so, here's the wiki definition of a sanctuary city. Sanctuary city is a name given to a city in the United States that follows certain procedures that shelters illegal immigrants. These procedures can be by law or they can be by action.
So stop funding that will prevent these law officials from asking these illegal immigrants, you know, what their status and all that.
Yeah, well, there's not only cities, there's actually sanctuary counties too.
That's kind of like, that's not what, that doesn't seem consistent with Trump, especially if he wants, you know, to get rid of like illegal immigrants and things like
that. Yeah, no, he's going to stop federal funding from going to cities that allow that to happen.
Yeah, that's, here's what I don't like about it. It's like telling the state, if you don't lower the DWI rate to 0.08, we're not going to give you any federal highway funding.
Well, I think illegal immigration is a national topic, though. I don't know how I would.
Well, if the media would actually.
I'm all for states' rights, but it's a real topic. And I don't, I think
the poll I saw was that immigrants are all for deporting illegal immigrants. Over 50%, over the majority. They're taking their jobs. It's there's that's mainly a thing. I mean, the unemployment rate is much higher than 0.4 or 4.9%, like they tell us it is. And
they took her gerbs.
But anyways, I'll go to the fourth. Begin removing the more than 2 million criminal illegal immigrants from the country and cancel visas to foreign countries that won't take them back. So I am all for that. If you come to this country legally and you commit crimes, I'm not going to say that just because you came here that's a crime. Yes, it is. But when you come here and create crime and violent crime especially, you should be deported. But, I mean, if you're speeding, whatnot, I sympathize with people that come here. I don't.
How about DWI?
Let me ask about this. Isn't that somewhat of a slippery slope? How do you know that? How do you go after these people? How do you identify them? What does that create in society? What type of a police state does that create?
I think they have panels inside Walmarts for that.
Panels inside Walmart.
It's already a lot to deport illegal immigrants.
I know, but here's my question. If you get that aggressive, how does that manifest itself in the police state? To me, that means a very aggressive federal police state. That's one of the only ways that I can imagine. You know, that brings, like I was alluding to the brown shirts, that really brings on huge fear. That emboldens the government to, you know, to treat every citizen like a suspect until otherwise proven innocent.
No, these are already, that's not all.
They're in jail.
They're already criminal legal immigrants. These are already people that have been processed through our courts.
Sure. All right.
So these are people that shouldn't be here in the first place that have been blocked from deportation. Mainly, I mean, there's like every day I read an article that where some illegal immigrant that was let out of jail or let off from being deported, like commits a murder or a rape or something. I mean, this is rampant across the country. So these people are of the criminal mentality and they're scot-free. They have so many more rights than citizens do in this country. They just get off. They're flooding the jails, the court system. They just let them go. They just don't even want to deal with it.
Gotcha.
And so it's creating this. It's actually blocking. It's actually harming the country through the not being able to follow the rule of law, and creating a mentality for more criminal activity because these people get off, and so then they keep just committing crime.
Heads up, 10 minutes till an hour. Maybe want to go a little bit longer. Just throwing that out there because we're already about 50 minutes in. Just letting you guys know.
Right.
You guys want to go a little
bit
longer?
I don't care if we go longer, but
maybe 1:10 or something like that.
Sure.
And then the fifth thing was suspend immigration from terror-prone regions where vetting cannot safely occur. All vetting of people coming into our country will be considered extreme vetting.
So that's a hard one for me because of my aforementioned relationship with these students and their families at my fiance's school, because they would definitely be considered to be coming from a country where you couldn't do
awesome
vetting. I mean, it's freaking Somalia. they can vet really well over there amongst the pirates. They'll definitely figure out who's safe and not. So that would cancel their ability to migrate here. And I actually find the Somali population, except for the guy who stabbed the people in St. Cloud. But that was one guy. I mean, it's not like there's a big problem here. There's like one dude. I will admit I started carrying again as soon as that happened, but
things happen.
That was one dude.
People kill people, right? So it does happen.
Yeah, and there's like tons. There's tons and tons and tons of these people There's tons and tons and tons of Somali immigrants in the Cedar Riverside neighborhood, and it is for the most part, pretty damn peaceful. Like, they keep to themselves mostly. They're very good Uber drivers.
Nice. And it's good to have good Uber drivers.
Right. They're nice people. Like, they care about their kids' future. Like, and I have a hard time just saying we're going to terror-prone regions. I mean, what?
That's a really general and sweeping term. And to me, that's one of my big concerns about Trump and his followers, or a lot of them, the alt-right people. They're xenophobic bigots. And, you know, when you start talking, this is a country of immigrants. The United States is a country of immigrants. And there is not that much terrorism or, you know, illegal immigrant aggression when you just statistically spread it across all demographical areas. So this message of fear and, you know, shutting down immigration, shutting down workers who come over using H-1B visas, et cetera, I just really don't agree with that rhetoric. It's my hope that maybe it's just rhetoric and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't actually result in implementation of that type of policy, but I think it's not a positive for the country at all.
But why is bringing immigrants into our country a positive if they go straight on the dole?
That's what the Native Americans have asked for a long time.
For what? To be on the dole?
No, why is it a good thing for immigrants to come to this country?
Yeah, well, but my point
seriously,
is,
I mean, that's
if
like
we're bringing people into this country and paying for them to live here, and they vote strictly across Democrat lines because that is how they get more resources. If I am all for people moving here, if they can make it on their own and join the free market, I have no problem with people coming here to pursue their own happiness.
And they do. Most people do.
But when they're coming here to get on welfare and then just
doing that,
and then vote.
Kirk, here's this is what I strongly disagree. These people, like a lot of these Somali families, they come here from these refugee families, you know, refugee camps, whether they're from like Somalia or from Ecuador or Ethiopia, whatever. You know, when they come here, they don't really know. Mexico, whatever, you know, you can say, you know, in
Russia,
Southeast Asia, but,
Asia,
you know, when they
everywhere.
Come here, they have no understanding what American culture, they hardly speak English, they don't have the education and all that.
Proving
I mean,
my point.
If they're, yeah, but if they come here, they got to start somewhere. Why? When they come here, who's going to help them? There's got to be some.
How is this a liberty? We are a liberty podcast. We were talking about liberty ideas. How is this anything liberty minded?
Allowing people to come to this country to pursue their dreams is liberty. It is
not
liberty. Restricting people
here.
Because of
Dude,
their
race. The Statue
race
of Liberty
that
has that on it.
Is
Send
anti-liberty.
Me Send me. I mean,
it's.
You're saying you're okay with, you know, just these normally good
fine
people.
If people want to come here.
Just come here and you know, we'll you know, sorry, you know, you're on your own. You're on your own. Try to figure it out, this whole culture. You have
Where
a family
else
of
you
10.
Move
you have
in
a
world
family
and get,
you have a
and,
family of 10. You take care of all the kids. You don't know any English, but you know, here you go. You're on your own.
And why do you think downtown Minneapolis votes entirely Democrat in year after year?
Downtown? I mean, like, I don't know.
Most of these migrants live?
Yeah, I think what we have here in
Cedar Riverside.
But here's what it is. The Democrats know that they are going to vote Democrat. It's just giving people the Democrats votes.
This is not a political issue.
It's a staging.
This is not
a political issue at all in my mind.
It is a political
issue. This is a human issue.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because this
right here, Kirk,
family,
is what a lot of people have a problem with when you talk about the Trump movement, is this type of ideology. It's bigoted. It's racist. It's anti-American.
It's not racist. I'm not talking bigoted or racist right
you
now.
Are.
I'm talking as... a nation and rule of law and the supposedly a democracy that we have, even though it's a republic, we still vote in a democratic way.
No, it's, Kirk.
When did you ever vote to allow people to come into the country? I mean, or just mass immigration?
I've never voted on not allowing people to enter this country. I've never thought that was the right thing to prevent people who want to come to this country.
So why stop with 1,000? Why not just bring in 100,000?
Why not?
Why not?
If you can't see through the logic of what will happen if you do that, I'm sorry. What do you think is happening in Germany right now? They're building walls around these migrant camps to block them in. It is not a good thing. So we should be happy for Germany right now. Is that a good thing, what's happening in Germany?
Danny, do you want to speak to that?
All I'm going to say is, you know, this is a human issue. And, you know, here's my take on this. I probably wouldn't even be here right now in the United States if, you know, if we didn't have this ideology of this country of having immigrants coming here. I mean, it's a touchy subject. You can, you know, the numbers, yeah, the waves of numbers. There's got to be some control over it. Yeah, I agree with it. But I never, you know, I cannot support, an ideology that, you know, whether it's a presidential president or, you know, a lawmaker, whoever, that says, you know, we're not going to accept any immigrants coming here. I just can't accept that because.
Who's saying that? No one's saying that. No one has said we're stopping immigrants from coming here.
Well, Trump is like deporting all these illegal immigrants. They're deported. He wants all these refugees out of this country. I mean,
you're putting words into his mouth. The criminals.
No, he said that he doesn't want Muslims to immigrate to the United States.
And he's talked about cutting down on
allowing H-1B them
visa
until they're
workers.
Vetted is what he's saying. What is wrong with that from a national viewpoint?
Well, I mean, we could always just take all the Japanese and put them into a camp without figuring out who they are until we get a chance to vet them too.
That was FDR.
Anyway, this is a contentious topic, and I think
let's talk about the facts of the matter. I mean, sorry, I listen to Stefan Molyneux all the time, and he is always has. I don't have the facts he has, but he goes through the charts of exactly what happens when you just allow mass immigration to come in without them assimilating, and you actually do them harm by putting them in the groups like that, and you make their own little communities, and they never assimilate. The kids start being more – the radicalized Muslims in the world are not the first-generation immigrants. It's the second generation. Because they can't have jobs, they go to schools with everyone else, and all they do is have, oh my God, everyone else is I want what they have. It creates resentment. They can't. The jobs aren't there. The economy's not there.
Kirk, I will invite you personally to come visit the school that my fiance teaches at, and you can see the type of environment that's fostering this extremism you're talking about.
Yeah, what is extreme of what I'm talking about?
You were just – no, you said it fosters extremism because they have jealousy amongst each other. And
yeah, when really it's not.
How old are these kids?
I questioned the data.
You said they're like second graders? Do you think any second grader is ever a radicalized kid?
Anyway, let's move forward. I can give you
examples of when children would throw grenades at soldiers in other countries. So yes, Kirk, I do think that is the case.
Okay.
But that is a
completely different story.
No, it's not. Whatever, dude. No, it's not.
Are you kidding me? But let's
We put levels kids in school here. Those kids don't go to school. They go join an army. Of course they can radicalize two-year-olds or second graders to go throw grenades if that's their schooling.
So they've got a better chance that they're here is what you're saying.
Of course they have a better chance here. But my point is the facts don't lie.
We should let them all come then.
I don't have the facts on me, and you know, maybe we could have a topic about this down the road where I can assimilate the facts. But
and now we gather. Do you have any more on your list, Kirk? Is that the last one?
Well, that was the fifth thing. But I'm just stunned that you guys think that we should bring immigrants here and pay for their existence in America. I'm absolutely stunned that this is a liberty podcast, and that's what you guys think.
It's a country of immigrants. It's what it is.
They need to start.
It's country.
I get what you're saying, Kirk.
Oh my God.
You can laugh at us all you want, but it's beyond the monetary.
It's emotional
issue.
Talk. It's the emotion out of it.
You.
There is no reason beyond it besides just emotion and trying to give people a helping hand. I have no problem with giving people a helping hand, but that is not the government's responsibility.
These people are coming from a country. Okay, this conversation could go really long. We could absolutely have another topic about this.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing I want to say is that they are coming from
Syria,
a country.
We're bombing the Middle East all over. Of course we should be bringing in people from all these countries. We're destroying the Middle East. We're rebelizing it. It's... It would be far cheaper to give them money to create their own economy where they live than to bring them over here and change the way that it is. And if that mentality that you guys are talking about is if there is bigotry among the Trump voters, that is why Trump won then, is because of this mindset. People are sick and tired we're enslaving our future kids of all this debt. We can't afford this. And then you guys talk about that we should just pay for people to exist and keep bringing them here because they are coming from a war-torn country?
The answer
America is crumbling.
Part of compassion.
The answer
is
liberty.
There is going to be no America to be compassionate if this trend continues.
Liberty and freedom are paramount in any situation.
They don't believe in liberty and freedom. That's the problem.
They don't need liberty and freedom?
They don't have that mindset.
I believe that most people who come to this country
do. The mindset
do.
Of government control.
The reason
control.
Why people come
Kirk,
to the United States.
Kirk, get out. Kirk, get out of your four walls within Heartbreakers and go to the school that Matt, you know, he volunteers and, you know, pay a visit. You just got to get out and see this.
Yeah, I guess I live in a bubble, huh?
Yeah, this is a issue that I don't think you're going to really bend any ear towards. So
we definitely have to talk about this again then, because I would need to show you guys the facts,
quote unquote.
Facts don't lie. It's mathematics do not lie.
Oh yeah, tell that to the polls.
Yeah,
yeah, that's how you manipulate math statistics.
Statistics are
exactly
whatever you want them
point.
To be. Statistics are whatever you want them to be.
If I pull 50% Democrats and 30% Republicans and 20% Independents, I'm thinking I'm going to have a Hillary ahead in every poll I create.
Okay,
and also
so
radical.
I can't believe that the polls were wrong.
Statistics.
Let's move forward and off this topic. And actually, this kind of does apply to it a little bit.
I love it.
One of the things that
I think this really goes into Eric
there's protesters downtown Hamline University
Trump.
Right now.
One
of the
problem of Trump.
One of the things
is,
that
is,
I think one of the aspects of Trump's policy that I do hope and support. Hopefully, this is not just rhetoric. Is the fact that he is pro foreign diplomacy with Russia, Middle East, China. He's pro. Reduced military intervention in the Middle East, which could provide better living environments for the very people that some individuals think should be deterred from entering into the United States. So maybe less aggressive policy towards Syria, maybe not fostering aggression through support of Saudi Arabia, Israel, etc. within the Middle East. That may lend some support to not so radicalized individuals, because a lot of these individuals who are radicalized or who are detrimental to this to the United States, I think a lot of people within the libertarian movement or ideological circles would say that they are aggressive towards this country because of the foreign policy that is in place in those areas. So that's a positive that I see with Trump. But I think, as we can all see, what we were talking about is very polarizing. I know a lot of progressive liberal people who are scared out of their mind having somebody who's so anti-immigration or anti-foreigner, who have compassion.
How is he anti-immigration and foreigner? The guy has an international businesses around the world. You don't think he likes tourism and people moving? He's not anti-immigrant. That is purely fear porn manipulation by the media, is my point. Sorry to interrupt.
We've said this enough times. We can move on.
There's protesters right now in St. Paul heading towards Ashley's campus.
What are they protesting?
500 people protesting Donald Trump's election.
And what do they want?
I don't know.
They just want to voice their anger?
Dude, I'm not there. I have no idea what they're protesting.
Can you imagine?
It's anti-Trump. That's what ASDP is saying.
What would be said on the media?
All right, so as we come up towards the end, let's wrap this up in the next couple of minutes. So it's been an interesting conversation about this.
I have no ill will towards you guys, so I'm glad how it went.
Yeah, I am so pissed off at you, Kirk.
Well, that's a given, but
I quit.
So, do you want to wrap it up in any way? Any parting thoughts? I know that Putin seems to be happy that that Russia has a better ally, potentially the United States. So maybe that could clamp down on some foreign aggression over there. We'll see.
I listened to someone that was just over in Russia that was saying, why are Americans so against Russia right now? That's what their populace believes. Mm-hmm. Is that Americans all are anti-Russian, but the person goes, no, it's actually just our government, not the people. And they were happy about that, because that they're like, yeah, that's kind of what we assumed, but you never know. Because the media over there is just blasting America for our temperament right now towards Russia.
Right.
By our government. But
what do you guys think about playing his congratulatory clip a little bit? What do you have to say? There he is.
And I'd like to congratulate the American people with the end of the electoral cycle.
Господина Дональда Трампа с победой на этих выборах.
And I'd also like to congratulate Mr. Donald Trump with his victory in these elections.
Мы слышали предвыборные заявления еще кандидата в президенты Соединенных Штатов.
We have heard his electoral slogans when he was still a candidate of the president.
Которые были направлены на восстановление отношений между Россией и Соединенными Штатами.
And he spoke about resuming and restoring relations between Russia and the United States.
Мы понимаем и отдаем себе отчет в том, что это будет непростой путь с учетом той деградации, в которой, к сожалению, находятся отношения между США и Россией.
We understand that the way to that would be difficult, taking into account the current state of degradation of relations between the U.S. and Russia.
И это, как я уже многократно говорил, не наша вина, что российско-американские отношения находятся именно в таком состоянии.
And as I have repeatedly said, that is not our fault that the Russian-American relations are in that poor state.
Но Россия готова и хочет восстановления полноформатных отношений с Соединенными Штатами.
But Russia is ready and wants to restore the full-fledged relations with the United States.
Повторяю, исходим из того, что это будет непростой путь, но мы готовы пройти и свою часть.
I repeat, we understand that this will be a difficult way, but we are ready to play our part in it.
И сделать все, чтобы вернуть российско-американские отношения на устойчивую траекторию развития.
And do everything to return the Russian-American relations to the stable and sustainable development track.
Это пошло бы на пользу как российскому, так и американскому народам.
This would serve the well-being of both Russian and American peoples.
И позитивно сказалось бы на общем климате в мировых делах, учитывая особую ответственность России и США за поддержание глобальной стабильности и безопасности.
And would have a positive effect on the general climate in the global affairs, taking into account the special responsibility of Russia and the US to sustain global stability and security.
That could be a net positive. May help with the Middle East, and maybe definitely less proxy wars, that type of thing.
Maybe we can actually team up with Russia and actually go get the terrorists instead of support the terrorists in Syria.
Right. But, or maybe the terrorists will go away if we don't have as many proxy wars or anything along those lines. So with that, let's move towards wrap up. This has been a good conversation about Mr. Trump and the election. And with that, Liberty Southwest podcast number 57 ends. You guys want to sign off?
Bye, guys.
Peace out.
All right, have a good
later
night.
Adios, mofo.